Hi, everyone. Back with the School of Mary with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will from Italy. And Sister Jacinta is going to entertain us now. I mean, give us her question.
She's going to sing.
Later, yes.
Sing it, sister.
So the passage I chose for today, it actually goes perfectly along with what Sister Spastik was saying earlier about like the cross and how it purifies us, and about how Jesus like beats the iron to like purify it more. So the passage I chose is from volume one. And at this point, this is the part where Jesus is really allowing like trials and tribulations in Luisa's life in order to purify her more for the great mission. And so at this point that I'm going to read, this is right before like Jesus allows demons to torment Luisa. And so Jesus tells Luisa, and he repeated to me, "Are you truly ready for anything I want?" I saw myself more confused, annihilated, and I said, "Yes, I am ready," but almost trembling. And he, compassionating me, continued to tell me, "Do not fear, I will be your strength." And when I read this, it reminded me of Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So continuing on, "It is not you that will suffer, but I myself will suffer and fight within you. See, I want to purify your soul from every slightest thought which might hinder my love within you. I want to test your faithfulness. But how can I see if this is true, other than by placing you in the midst of the battle?" And this also reminded me of another Bible verse in the gospel where it talks about like God allowing like gold to be tested in fire in order to be purified more. So the more the gold is heated up, the more the impurities come to the top, so it can be more cleansed. And that's how God works with our souls. He allows all these like trials, tribulations, temptations to come to us so we can resist it. So in resisting it, that'll make us even stronger against the enemy. So continuing on. So Jesus tells Luisa about like fighting the vices. So Jesus tells Luisa, "So that after you have fought the virtues with the opposite vices, you may already find yourself in possession of those very virtues which you think you are losing." And then Jesus tells Luisa a beautiful, like a beautiful simile here of the state of a soul who like resists from temptations and just clings on to Jesus during all these trials. "And then your soul, purged, embellished, enriched, will be like a king returning victorious from a most fierce war, who, while he thought he would lose what he possessed, comes back more glorious and filled with immense riches. Then will I come, I will pour my dwelling in you, and we will be always together." And Jesus continues to tell Luisa here that how our stay will be always painful, how the demons at daytime and at nighttime will give her no more peace, and then how how they'll always be like waging like a war against you. But then what Jesus tells her afterward, it also brought me a lot of comfort. And Jesus is telling us this through Luisa, which is, "But you, always keep your aim at what I want to make of you. That is, making you similar to me. And at the fact that you will not be able to arrive at this, other than by means of many and great tribulations. In this way, you will have more courage to sustain the pain." And I'm just going to skip down here. "And he benignly continued to say, 'Do not afflict yourself so much. Know that I will never allow them to tempt you beyond your strength. If I allow this, it is for your good. I never put souls in battle so that they may perish. First, I measure their strengths. I give them my grace, and then I put them in.'" So it's really consoling to know to just keep our eyes on Jesus and to think that whatever like struggles or trials anyone may be going through, or whatever I may go through them, to just keep our aim on Jesus and thinking God is allowing this hardship, whatever it may be in my life, in order to like purify me and strengthen me more, and to also trust like Our Lady did, and to just be in God's arms like a little child.
Oh, thank you for that sharing, Sister. Sister, you said that was volume one, right?
Yeah.
What was the date of it?
There's no date in this.
It's a joke. For those of you joining us for the first time, it's not funny. I know it's not funny. But for those of you joining us for the first time, or if you're not that familiar with the volumes, volume one is volume two. Because what happened was when Louisa wrote volume two, which was actually volume one, her confessor came back and said, "Well, how did you get to this point?" And Louisa remembered exactly what Jesus said, but she couldn't remember and recall exactly when he said it. So that's why there's no dates. So I'm glad you couldn't give me a date on that. So just have to thank you so much.
Yeah, but even though it is the earlier volume, and Louisa was still at the state of life, her life was purified, purged by God, but it's applicable to now. And go back to what we talked earlier in this program, that these human acts, the sacrifice that we go through, even though it's human, but when we unite it, when we desire to unite it with the Lord, it becomes divine. So the suffering that we go through, it's no longer us suffering, but it's Jesus himself.
Right. Well, actually, these tests are really good because, you know, when we're able to keep our composure during these, you know, difficult times, that's one of the signs Jesus tells us that we're embarking on the divine will, you know, not to lose our peace, to be able to respond and not react like I do most times, and it usually gets you in trouble. Hello, Sister Dora.
Hello. Yes, exactly. Like sisters were saying before, our Mother Mary, like sacrificing our will all the time. And Sister Madeleine was mentioning before the nothingness. Like really, it seems to me like really thinking, I'm nothing, God is everything. And I'm not capable, like Lisa was always saying to Jesus, I'm not capable of anything. Like, I don't want to think because I will only do, I will only think bad. Please, Jesus, come thinking in me. And really, there is one passage, I'm not sure which one, but it says like, when you really become to live in the divine will, you'll feel like such a strong necessity of, that divine will operates in you, because you're like so incapable to do anything on your own. And I mean, that's the thing, like, and it seems to me kind of like the acts, Jesus many times speaks to Lisa like about the seed, our acts that we're willing to do in the divine will are like the seed. And I kind of had that picture, that image in my mind. You know about the fractals, I suppose, you know, this beautiful like images that are like repeats itself in nature, fractals, no? And it seems like, yeah, the divine will is like that. But that there is also like a seed of a human will. And you know, like once you start to do your human will, like Adam and Eve, they had the seed of a human will, and it just started to create like repeat on itself, like regenerate itself, like in a very bad fractal, you know, like an ugly image. And Jesus and our Blessed Mother, they did for each of us like this beautiful, like each of us has its own place, order, and purpose, like this beautiful, beautiful image, beautiful fractal, how our divine life was supposed to be, and how to make from our ugly fractal that beautiful divine one. Yeah, only doing the acts and rounds, actually, all the time, sacrificing our own will. And the nothingness, that's the really, I had to remind myself all the time about this nothingness, like, because it's so easy, you know, to, especially in the good things, you know, like, you think, this is, like, a really good thing, it should be done, but, like, you don't ask yourself, does God really want it? Like, would this be the divine will? Like, for example, you are praying for someone, like someone you love, someone from your family, you know, to do this and that. And then you're praying and praying, I suppose, to each one of us this happened, and there are no results, you know? Like, and you're asking yourself, like, why God, why are you not, like, you're praying and sacrificing and fasting, and I don't know. But then, yeah, and I was just reminded, I need to tell this story again about the pushing the rock. Yeah, because it really strikes me. So, yeah, we just spoke last night with the Texas Divine Will Group, and actually Mike told us that it's this story he was told to, so about the pushing the rock. So there was a man who God told him to push the rock, a big rock, and he was pushing and pushing and pushing, and you know, and got exhausted and all, and then he came to God and he said, like, God, I couldn't move the rock, like, I mean, why did you tell me to do this? Because I put all of myself into that, and I didn't move it even an inch, you know? And God said, but I didn't tell you to move it. I just told you to push it, you know? And yeah, it's really, because so many times we think that we got it, like we understood what God wanted us to do, like, we are looking more like beyond what God wanted us to do. So it's not like doing more or less. It's like doing exactly what is the divine will, you know, not guessing what should be the result. And many times, you know, Jesus is telling to Lisa when she laments, oh God, you know, I'm not doing anything. But she doesn't realize it. Like our Blessed Mother also, it seems on the external, like she wasn't doing anything, but her interior acts like they were, you know, encompassing everything, past, present, and future, whole creation, like everything. So, yeah, I was just reading this passage from volume 16, February 8, 1924. The way how little ones must be in the divine will and what they must do in it. I was fusing all of myself in the holy divine will, and in doing this, as the littlest of all, I placed myself ahead of all generations, even before Adam and Eve were created, so that before they would sin, I may prepare ahead of them the act of preparation to the divine majesty. Because in the divine will, there is neither past nor future, but everything is present. And also so that being little, I may approach the divine majesty in order to plead with him and do my little acts in his will, so as to cover all the acts of creatures with his divine will, and therefore be able to bind the human will, which has split off with the divine, and make them one. Now, while I was about to do this, my annihilation, my misery, and extreme littleness were such that I said to myself, instead of placing myself ahead of everyone in the most holy will, I should rather put myself behind everyone, even behind the last man who will come. Since I'm the most abject and the most miserable of all, it is the last place that befits me. Now, while I was doing this, my beloved Jesus came out from within my interior and taking my hand told me, my little daughter, in my will, the little ones must be ahead of all, even more inside my womb. One who must plead, repair, unify our will, not only with her own, but with those of all, must be near us and so united with us as to receive all the reflections of the divinity in order to copy them within herself. She must have a thought which may be the thought of all, a word, a work, a step, a love, which may be of all and for all. And since our will envelops everyone, may that thought of yours, which in our will be thought of all, that act, that love, shine in each thought, word, and act of all generations. And in the power of our will, may they become antidotes, defenders, lovers, operators, etc. If you knew with what love our celestial Father awaits you, and the joy, the contentment he feels in seeing you so little, bring the whole creation onto his lap, to give him the return of all. He feels the glory, the joys, the amusements of the purpose of creation come back to him. So, yeah, I think yesterday was the reading of the gospel. I think when Jesus said, let the little ones come to me. Mm-hmm. I think it was mm-hmm. that, yeah. So really not at all thinking of oneself, but only on, you know, accomplishing that, what is the divine will, what exactly God told you. And it reminds me of how our body functions. You know, like every cell in our body has its own distinct, you know, place and purpose. And actually, what is cancer? You know, like when the one cell starts to regenerate itself, you know, like out of place. I mean, without that, it is its own purpose, like, you know, just regenerate. It becomes cancer, and it goes on and on until, you know, from just one that started like that, I mean, it can affect whole body. And the body dies. Like that's the cancer cells are our human will. I mean, it got out of the place and purpose that was created by God.
Thank you, sister. Yeah, we mentioned about I read what Father Brown had given us. You know, talking about that this Book of Heaven is a comprehensive guidebook to the lost godly nature of our souls. And you know, we've learned a few lessons. You know, we learned, of course, to emulate Our Lady with our fiat, giving our fiat to God wholeheartedly. And then I think about a half hour ago, no, I'm kidding, that you mentioned Adam. You know, in volume 15, June 6, 1923, another lesson we can learn here, an important lesson. Why did Adam sin? And our Blessed Lord explains, quote, because he removed his gaze from the divine attraction. And as he presented him the fruit to let him eat of it, he looked at the fruit and his sight took pleasure in looking at it. So again, took the gaze off of God, and then something else illuminated us, which again allowed him to fall into error. It could have been a heroic act if he had kept his gaze on God and corrected Eve, but it didn't work that way. Of course, we know that. So again, all these lessons, you know, we talk about that comprehensive guidebook, and we just take notes, because God's telling us what not to do and what to do. You know, it's like we have to take a test, and God is literally giving us the answers to the questions. We have to just write them down now and bring them to the examination so we can just fill in the blanks. That's all we're doing, sisters.
Yes, yeah. We're reflecting on Our Lady, especially today, celebrating the vigil mass. And yeah, it just came to my mind too. I think we're listening to a podcast too of like Father Nancy video, and to him talking about just the immaculacy that Adam had and Eve and Mary has, and just kind of bringing us back to restoring how God has created us. And we kind of lost that anyway. And I just been opening up and see where the Holy Spirit leads. But he brought me to the passage, the volume 17 passage, from September 6, 1924, about the image of the church and the necessity to purify her. And I think it just relates to what all the sisters have been sharing, and any volume can kind of bring us all to another, like you say, like another prism kind of the diamond of heaven here. So
well put.
I'll read this, yeah, and just see what Lord wants to speak. So Luis is saying, as I was in my usual state, I found myself outside of myself, and to my surprise, I found a woman passed to the ground in the middle of the street, all full of wounds, her members all dislocated. Not one bone was in place. The woman, though in such a sorry state as to seem the true portrait of pain, was beautiful, noble, majestic, but at the same time it aroused pity to see her abandoned by all, exposed to anyone who might want to harm her. So moved to compassion, I looked around to see if there was anyone who would help me to lift her from the ground and take her to a safe place. And oh, what marvel, a young man appeared at my side, who seemed to be Jesus. So together we lifted her from the ground, but at every movement she suffered harrowing pains due to the dislocation of her bones. So little by little we carried her into a palace upon a bed, and together with Jesus, who seemed to love this woman so much as to want to give his own life to save her, restored her health. We took the dislocated members in our hands and put them in place. At the touch of Jesus, the bones would take their place, and that woman was transformed into a beautiful and graceful child. And it continues just talking about the, yeah, kind of the human will in our own family, in our own church, in our own world here that we're living in, and just the necessity that it can continue, like saying the members within saying, let her be crucified, let her be crucified, and just what a sorrowful state my church is in. And I think it's just the Lord speaking about us being like children too, and just restoring us back to the beauty and the grace and the immaculacy that we will have perfectly in heaven, but especially in this time where we're given this gift of the Book of Heaven, it brings us to just the light that he surrounds us with when we are reading and when we are studying and just praying with these words that Louisa and Jesus have blessed us with, and just reflecting to, I love the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of the Divine Will. She just has a lot of beautiful lessons to give us. And this is from, I think, day 27. She says, now listen to me in my immense sorrow with the pains of my son. I want to speak to you of the great evils of your human will. Look at him in my sorrowful arms, how disfigured he is. He is the true portrait of the evils that the human will does to the poor creatures. My dear son wanted to suffer so many pains in order to raise this will again. Fallen into the abyss of all miseries, each pain of Jesus, each one of my sorrows, called to rise again the divine will. And yeah, I think with the assumption, it's kind of a beautiful reminder of like how the Lord wants to assume our souls into his and his divinity into us, and how each passage of the volumes and of the books of about the divine will and are kind of like that, you know, that embrace, that beautiful restoration. Just you can reflect on in any passage and hear what the Lord wants to speak to you about, what he wants to restore and what he wants to bring glory out of, and what a gift it is to be able to be aware of this gift and be given this gift and really treasure this gift, because it is beyond our human comprehension, our human will, and it's really it's the Lord loving us, so it's a gift.
I think that's also why, you know, our blessed Lord and our Lady calls us little children. You know, a little child really needs to respond and be obedient to the father and the mother. Otherwise, you know, danger is just lurking around the corner, whether it's falling off a couch or walking into the street. You know, so little children must be obedient to the mother and father. We've got the greatest father in Jesus. We've got the greatest mother and our blessed mother. And again, another thing we can learn, again, going back to Adam, that same volume 15, June 6, 1922. Adam, when he took a bite of the apple, his palate took pleasure in eating it. He enjoyed it. But then Jesus goes on to say, oh, how careful must one be with the different tastes which arise in the soul. If they are purely divine tastes, one must give them life. But if they are human tastes or of passions, one must give them death. Otherwise, there is a risk of falling into the current of evil. End quote. So again, another great lesson that is worthy and needs to be meditated on, and it'll explode with an understanding. I know will everything here will, if we give God the opportunity to do so. Again, walk down that cave, open that door, and watch all the other doors open by themselves. Blessed Mother, perfect example. San Marino.
What passage was that?
That was still from volume 15, June 6, 1923. It's a beautiful passage. It's not that long.
1920. Okay, I wanted to go back and read it. There's a few things going on here. Excuse my ADD mind, self-diagnosed. First of all, Scholastic, I want to go back to what Scholastic had said about St. Thomas. I remember Father Hugh Gillespie, he's from Long Island. I think he has a retreat center up there. I forgot the community that he runs. Anyway, I remember him giving a talk. He was saying how, you know, St. Thomas gets a bad rap because, you know, the doubting Thomas, but really he's the one who made it really clear for everybody. And he's the only one in the gospel who touched the wounds of Jesus. So,
yeah.
You know, so we have to give St. Thomas some credit. Also, when Sister Jacinta was talking about, you know, the suffering and being tried with fire. And this is something that had been it's come up to me in my mind today. And like I read about it today. So I just wanted to read this. It was in the second chapter of Sirach. And this went with what I was reading in Divine Will about confidence in Jesus. So I'm just going to read this really quick, and then I'll read a little bit of the divine will. The second chapter of Sirach, the Lord says, "My child, when you come to serve the Lord, prepare yourself for trials. Be sincere of heart and steadfast, and do not be impetuous in time of adversity. Cling to me, do not leave him, that you may prosper in your days. Accept whatever happens to you in periods of humiliation. Be patient." You know, it's because like whenever I read this stuff, I'm like, it's divine will. I see it in the divine will too. Jesus tells us, and it's like he's told us in the gospel, he's told us in the Old Testament, and he tells us in the divine will. Then it says here what Sister was talking about: accept whatever happens to you in periods of humiliation. Be patient, for fire is tested. For in fire gold is tested, and the chosen in the crucible of humiliation. Trust in God and he will help you. Make your way straight and hope in him. You that fear the Lord, wait for his mercy. Do not stray lest you fall. You that fear the Lord, trust in him and your reward will not be lost. For you that fear the Lord, hope for good things and lasting joy and mercy. And then in volume 12, October 8th, 1919, Jesus talks about the effects of confidence in Jesus. And he says that confidence in me dispels fear and nourishes the soul with pure love. It dissolves doubts. It gives her certainty. It takes away weaknesses and gives her fortitude. Even more, it makes her so daring with me that she attaches herself to my breast and she suckles and suckles and feeds herself. Nor does she want any other food. And if she sees that in suckling nothing comes out, and I permit this in order to excite her to the highest confidence, she does not get tired, nor does she detach herself from my breast. On the contrary, she suckles more strongly. She knocks her head against my chest while I laugh to myself and let her. The trusting soul is my smile and my amusement. One who has confidence in me, loves me, esteems me, believes I am rich, powerful, immense. On the other hand, one who has no confidence does not really love me. She dishonors me, believes I am poor, powerless, small. What an affront to my goodness. So I think this lesson for me was, you know, just really have that supernatural confidence in God. To trust in him. And with Our Lady, the feast day tomorrow of the Assumption, I was looking at the passage in volume 36 about, it's August 15th, 1938, volume 36. And when we were talking about earlier about, Sister was saying, we can't compare ourselves to Our Lady. She was, she was immaculately conceived and all, and we weren't comparing ourselves, but she was just making the point of that from what she was reading. But it says here how she possessed God. She possesses God. So she was so one with the Lord. She possesses him. And here towards the end, he says, her love was so great as to cover and hide inside. It sees weaknesses, evils, sins, the creatures themselves. Oh, if this Holy Virgin did not possess so much love, it would be difficult for us to look at the earth. Only her love makes us look at it. And we want to give our will to reign in the midst of creatures because she wants it so. She wants to give to her children what she possesses, which is God, the divine will. And by loving and by love, she will win us and her children. So the victory is in the Immaculate Heart of Mary. She's our mama. She's gonna get us there. You know, she wants it. And the Lord says, whatever she wants, I'll give it to her. So.
Yeah, he says nothing that you ask of my mother, I will not deny her. Or anything my mother asks of me, I will not deny her. It's incredible. You know, you're talking, sister, about, you mentioned the word love, and let's go back to Adam also. You know, in volume 16, September 6, 1923, it's entitled, When Love Ceases, Sin Begins. And then again, we get a further understanding about the detriment of Adam, why he fell. Again, these are lessons that we can learn. And our blessed Lord says, do you want to know why Adam sinned? Because he forgot that I loved him and he forgot to love me. Mm. End quote. So again, when love ceases, sin begins. Back to you, sisters.
Wow. And also, I attached my little meditation. I like to read these passages from volume 18. And it's December 24, 1924. At the beginning, Luisa was complaining with Jesus because she felt very, she was in the darkness. She feels in every moment like she was going to death, but she never died. And Jesus said, I felt the death of sin, the death of good in the creatures, and also the natural death. That what a cruel torment this was for me during my whole life. So from since the conception of Jesus until the end, the top was he died on the cross. He feels in every moment these three kind of death: death of sin, death of good in the creatures, and also the natural death. And so he explained to her, my daughter, it is your living in my will that makes you share in continuous death in my humanity. So also for us, when we feel bad sensation, bad thoughts, like to die, not die in a natural way, but in a spiritual way, we have to realize that we are sharing the pain that Jesus feels for us during his entire life. And I can be a connection with another passages from volume 14, August 15, 1922. And beginning, Jesus said, my daughter, in my will you shall find not only all the acts of my humanity did, in which I graded all creatures together, but you shall also find everything that my dear mama did, which being graded with me formed one single act. As soon as I was conceived in her womb, she began the braiding with my acts. In the same way, she took it back to the Father in the name of all the rights. So this is a connection with what Sister Benedicta was saying. She repaired for all of us, for each one of us, and all the reparation was not given in her name, but in our name. So we are all covered with our mantle, and this, and under this mantle, we have to start with a new hope. Yes, we have not to compare with her because we were conceived in the sin. We need the redemption in a different way, but it's also a beautiful thing to understand that we are saved from Jesus and we have a mother. She didn't leave her grace thinking that she has a spiritual mother. Over Mary, there is only Jesus. But we have a grace. We have a mother. We have a very big mother, big mama, we say.
It certainly is. You know, to that point, I just want to chirp in with this. Day 31, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, our Blessed Lady again explains to us, quote, be certain that from heaven I will not leave you. I shall not leave you as an orphan, but I will guide you in all things from your least to your greatest needs. all you have to do is invoke me, and immediately I will come and offer you my motherly assistance. And she means that.
Yes.
She means that. That's our mother. That's the greatest mother.
This is the reason for what the devil hates the Hail Mary. Because yes. In the moment when we say Hail Mary, she arrived, and she he lose.
I would like to share a gospel that we read at Mass today for the vigil Mass for the Our Lady of Assumption, the feast. It's a very short passage and really gave a good impression to me what the priest was talking about. And it says from Luke 11, as Jesus was speaking, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said, happy the womb that bore you and the breasts you sucked. But he replied, still happier those who hear the word of God and keep it. So the priest was talking about, you know, there's two things you can look at these things. Blessed Mother not only bore Jesus, the Son of God, but more so, even Jesus said, more so, blessed are those who listens to the word of God and obeys it. And I can look the connection of this with the divine will. It's talking also about us. And like the imitation of a Blessed Mother, once we desire and we ask for the Lord to live in the divine will is born in us. We become the mother. Little mothers of the divine will, when we allow the divine will to be conceived in our hearts, and talking with hearts, it's about love. Like we mentioned, Sister Benedicta mentioned earlier, and I'll read a passage from June 15, 1923, volume 15, and it's about charity. And Jesus says, my daughter, with this power, charity can convert all things into love. Look at the fire, all varieties of wood and any other thing, it converts them all into fire. And if it did not have the power to turn everything into fire, it could not be given the name of true fire. The same for the soul. If she does not convert all things into love, both supernatural and natural things, joys and bitternesses, and all that surrounds her, she cannot be said to possess true charity. So everything that we do, be it joy or sorrow or suffering, no matter what it is that we do, unless we convert that into love, it can never be the true divine will. It couldn't be true fire for the divine will. And I think coming from our Blessed Mother, she is the par excellence, the paragon of virtues, if you say. She really is the model, the perfect model for us. There's nothing that our Blessed Mother did apart from love of God, and not love of self, but love of God. And it flows out from the love of God into ourselves, into our neighbors.
Amen. Okay, we've got about 5 minutes left. We're going to split that 2 minutes, 2 minutes in the Mother House, 2 minutes in San Marino. So Mother House, you want to take another 2 minutes, whoever wants to speak?
Anybody wants to share? I just wanted to say something briefly.
Okay, go ahead.
From the summary, Peter, about the prayer you mentioned about it being the coin. Now, I would like to remind myself all the time that every time I pray, it's like gaining a coin. And this coin I use to purchase for a space, a land, if you say, or a storage space for God to fill in my storage house with the divine will. So I'll have to think that every time I pray in divine will, with love for love of God, it would be like a coin that I use to purchase this space.
Amen.
I just wanted to really quickly, since I did a passage thinking about St. Maximilian Kolbe for today, but since tomorrow is literally our feast, the Feast of the Divine Will, the Assumption of Our Lady, I wanted to read something about Our Lady, so I'll type it in later. But this is from Volume 2, August 15, 1899, and I'm going... the second to last paragraph, it's very short, but I'm just going to read like one or two sentences. Jesus says to Luisa, the first canticle that the angels and the saints, I'm just paraphrasing a bit here, sang to Our Lady was the Hail Mary, because in the Hail Mary, there are the most beautiful praises, the greatest honors, and the joy which she felt in being made Mother of God is renewed. And it just occurred to me the first time, well, that makes sense then why at the Annunciation, when the Archangel St. Gabriel went to Our Lady, and that's what he said, the Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Because imagine that for the angels and the saints, that to them, that is the highest honor and praise that they can give to the Mother of God. So I just thought that connection was so beautiful. Now it makes sense because... you know, if you think about it, like obviously the Archangel Gabriel gave the message that God told him to give to Our Lady. But on the other hand, you know, you always wondered, like, you know, like how did, you know, God wanted to tell Our Lady at the Annunciation about the plan of redemption. But now through the divine will, through Luisa and what Jesus told her, now we know why did the Archangel Gabriel begin the Annunciation with the Hail Mary.
Yeah, it's being explicated.
You know,
that's my catechism, Article 66. So Marina, 2 minutes. Oh, sister, go ahead.
San Marino, sisters.
Not especially, only for Marisa, I was reading something about, I don't know if you remember, Insinuiesu, is a book about the hope, conversion, about the souls of the priest. And we told that Our Lady is our mother. And in that book, she said that she's especially a mother for the priest. For all the problem that we have in the church, and she said, Jesus said to these Benedictine monks, all the problems that we have in the church and in this point of the history, will be resolved with adoration and with the conversion of all the priests, and what will happen. And there is a special rule of Our Lady in this conversion, because she says she's a mother of all the priests, and she called them, especially in a sanctuary, the sanctuary of Knock in Ireland. And I didn't know, but I was searching. I had Knock in my mind this morning. I was looking on internet, and today start the novena Our Lady of Knock, and for the 21 of August. And if you are interested, there is a very special website you can follow. I don't know if all the days or some days, or you can share all simple the prayer for the intention, for the conversion and the purifications of the souls of the priests, because they will be the first actor of the spreading of divine will in the church. This is after
first lamb.
The first lamb with Jesus. What Jesus and Mary, they have only one lamb. And
ring. First ring. Okay. Sorry.
The first ring is Jesus and Mary together. They are one ring. The first ring is Luisa, because she connected all her acts with all the acts of Jesus and Mary. But the next ring after Luisa will be priest. So with this prayer, we can participate with the works of the Holy Spirit for this purification.
Amen. Let's pray for
Amen.
Prayer.
Yeah, we have to every day, and for the Pope. Thank you, sisters. I want to thank God above all for the opportunity. I want to thank the sisters for being with us.
Thank you, everybody.
We have just a joy. I'm going to end. We began with a supplication. I'd like to end with a supplication, then I'd like to give everyone a chance to say goodbye. So this comes again from Volume 16, September 6, 1923. And we seem to have morphed again. We seem to have morphed toward the end into love. And this is our Blessed Lord speaking. Volume 16, September 6, 1923. Quote, "This is why in coming upon earth, the thing which I placed greatest importance was that they love one another as they were loved by me. In order to give them my first love, to let the love of the Most Holy Trinity hover over the earth. Therefore, in all your pains and privations, never forget that I love you very much, so as to never forget to love me. And as daughter of our will, or children of our will, you have the task to love me for all. In this way, you will remain in the order and will fear nothing." End quote. Thanks be to God. I'm going to allow everyone to unmute themselves if they'd like to, and say goodbye to the sisters. Bye, everyone.
Bye, sisters. Thank you so much.
Bye, sisters. Thank you so much.
Keep praying for us in the divine will.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Sisters and Peter. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Sisters. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, God sisters. Bless.
Happy feast day of the Assumption and of the Divine Will. Bye.
And if you haven't had enough of the sisters, you can listen to Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will on Radio Maria at 11 a.m. Eastern time every and each Thursday. It's a joy. It's just sort of like another Mary's Hill on a radio. We have a good time. But sisters, thank you so much. And again, thank you for helping us bring the joy of the divine will in the simplicity of our lives. And again, I think we talked about that during the cenacle. And I remember the quote that Jesus told Luis, and it's so, it's interesting, it's funny, and it's really sincere. He says, and to us, your job is to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. End quote. So it's like the opposite of the scribes and the Pharisees. We don't have to be known what we're doing. We're given an opportunity to be humble heroes, because in doing and performing acts of the divine will, we're allowing God to dispel grace and graces to all souls, past, present, and future, to be receptive of this gift. That's the greatest gift we can give anyone, is an introduction to the divine will. And we can do it, in essence, without even saying a word. How blessed are we? Sisters, see you on Thursday. Love everyone. Support one another.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, sisters. God bless you.
This is great.